Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
You're welcome back. This one stood out for us today. Now, this story, the government of Barbados is considering plans to make a wealthy British Conservative MP the first individual to pay reparations for his ancestors' pivotal role in slavery on the island. For years, the Caribbean nation has been seeking compensation from colonial powers that operated slavery on its people and has recently mentioned potential targets, including the actor Benedict Cumberbatch because of his ancestors' association with slavery. Paul Lashmer, Dr. Paul Lashmer, is an investigative journalist and he's been uncovering this story and joins me now. Dr. Lashmer, you're very welcome to the programme. You might tell me, Paul, first of all, who Richard Drax is and what his family history is.
Richard Drax is a member. That's his short version of his name. He's one of the rare people who have got a four-barreled name. In fact, his full name is Richard Grosvenor Plunkett Earnley Earl Drax. So he's got it's a family going back. I've been tracing the family roots back into the 16th and 15th century. So and they've been at Charlborough for over 500 years, which is their big country estate in Dorset, not far from where I live.
So Charborough is the family mansion then, and they have other means as well. He's quite a wealthy individual.
Well, I did 2 years ago, I did quite a lot of research and I worked out that he owns 23 and a half square miles of Dorset, plus there's land in Yorkshire, and plus, of course, there's the plantation in Barbados. And I estimated his land and properties alone were probably worth about £150 million.
By God. There's also an Irish connection there, Paul.
There is. He is of the root. He comes from the family of Dunsany, I think. Is that you tell me the correct pronunciation?
Yeah.
But his great-grandfather was the second son, and the first son was the famous author, Lord Dunsany.
My God. And what connects Richard Drax then? What is the connection with slavery in Barbados?
Well, it's a very long-standing, and that's probably what's most unique about this. This is the only family that still own a plantation on which they had slaves, and that they were their ancestor was one of the first on Barbados in about 1527, and developed was absolutely the key person developing sugar plantations, and then the appalling thing we call chattel slavery.
My God, so Richard Drax then in Charborough Mansion in Dorset has wealth that is emanating in part from the encampment or the plantation, I should say, that they first got in 1527.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually, when you start to look at it, it's more complicated because, for instance, I've seen that some, he's got ancestors who invested in the English East India Company, which actually, again, traded in slaves. So like many of the landed gentry of the period, the money of slavery and the industry around slavery comes to them in different ways. And the plantation is just part of that, although a very lucrative one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how hands-on he is on that plantation, Richard Drax, at the moment. Has he been to Barbados recently, Paul?
He has, and he... he's an absentee landlord, but he visited in early November to have a private conversation with the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Mottley, who is becoming quite a major figure on the world stage.
And we don't know, of course, what was said or what lobbying was done at that meeting, because, as you say, it was private. Has he said anything publicly, Richard Drax?
He has not said anything publicly, but people who... were close to that conversation, who weren't present, but then picked up on it. They say that essentially the position is the Barbadian government is saying, we think you your family has benefited so much that you ought to make some kind of reconciliation and make major gestures over this. And essentially what they said to him was, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. You either, why don't you talk to us and let's see what we can do. And they're talking about the plantation becoming perhaps a museum to in the memorial to slavery and various other things. Or otherwise, we will look at other routes for possible confiscation through the courts or the international courts. So they're quite, you know, they're quite strong-minded about it, but aware that it may take some years, but it's they're open to negotiation and discussion is their position.
Mm-hmm. What about then the suggestion that Benedict Cumberbatch, the actor, could be pursued because of his ancestors' part in slavery?
Well, that's the story is becoming very interesting at the moment, but I'm afraid that Benedict Cumberbatch is rather taken off because he's very famous. But in fact, the name came up in a conversation with someone who wasn't close to the government and is slightly being misrepresented. So the idea that the Barbadians are going to go after Benedict Cumberbatch, I think, is pushing it rather a long way. I don't think we'll see that happen. It's just, you know, he's famous and everybody likes a story about a celebrity and they've hung it on that, as it were.
Is there not as direct a link then in Cumberbatch's case?
No, I mean, certainly the Cumberbatch family were involved in slave plantations in the day, but they've long been out of it. So, you know, I don't think they're at the forefront of people who could be demonstrated have clear links to the modern day.
Mm-hmm. You're a tenacious investigative journalist, Paul Lashbrough, must say. Has Richard Drax ever reached out to you indirectly into all of what you've uncovered?
Well, I've written to him. I'm actually writing a history of the family because I got into it. I found it really a very interesting story because it's much more nuanced. It's layered. A lot of interesting characters in his family. So I wrote to him and asked, you know, whether I could discuss his archive because they have an archive at Jarborough, the family estate. And I sent him a letter. He'd already obviously had contact with me when I was writing stories for The Observer and Sunday Mirror. But he does not reply unless he really doesn't reply very often. I asked him a lot of questions back in 2020. I only got a handful of answers. So he doesn't communicate with journalists very often. And I know other journalists have tried to talk to him. It's interesting because he's an ex-BBC reporter himself. That's what he did before he became an MP.
Well, it's interesting indeed. That's one word for it. Investigative journalist Paul Lashmer, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on the programme.